Kind of bear with me and be patient, but this is new to me. So hopefully I'll improve as we go along and get better each time. Bible beginnings. This study focuses upon the first three chapters of Genesis. Several beginnings are found therein. Genesis means beginning. The title of the book is taken from the first verse in the beginning. In order to appreciate and understand the Bible and all that God has done for us in the scheme of redemption, we need to familiarize ourselves with those events set forth in chapter 1 through 3 of the first book of the Bible. There are five beginnings to which we will give our attention. The beginning of creation. We read in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Beginning is used here in relation to time or the present creation. But how many thousands of years ago that happened, nobody knows. The Bible does not give us that date. Archbishop Usher of the Church of England set the date of Adam's creation at 4004 BC. He added the ages of the patriarchs according to the Hebrew text of the Bible and arrived at that conclusion. But his conclusion was invalid, as a serious study of his effort will show. There have been over 120 different dates by various ones, ranging from 6984 BC to 3616 BC as the date that Adam was created. The evidence points to a young earth rather than the one that was billions of years old. That if the earth had been populated for millions of years, it would be unable to hold the number of people that was supposed to be existing. Dating methods are highly suspect that have drawn the conclusion of the earth is ancient. Space does not allow in-depth study of this issue, but you might want to consult other sources. Well, in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We say heavens, that's plural, meaning, you know, there's heaven where the birds fly. Then also heaven where stars and moon, the sun. And then you've got the third heaven where God resides. Four is the daily metaphor is Adam's creation. That's kind of like a, you know, words I'd say it was a waste of time because that's not important because God didn't reveal nothing to us about it other than man was created on the sixth day. So that's all we, that's all he gave us on that information. That's all we need to know. Okay, it says, several passages speak of God creating the universe. In Isaiah 45 and 12. But I have made the earth and created man on it. By my hand stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. I'll say it in Isaiah 45:18. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhibited, but I am the Lord, and there is no other. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are seen, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Although Hebrews 1:2, as in these days, they spoke through us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. All these scriptures here tells you who created the heaven and earth. No other person or no other being created your own through God. Also, the Bible account of creation, the evolutionary theory, including theistic evolution, are totally incompatible. The God is said to have created the world, and this was done through the Word of the Son of God. All things were made through him. And without him, not anything was made that was made. Also, Colossians 1 and 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible. For the thrones are things, our principalities of power, all things were created through him and for him. But we see that, you know, God, not only God, but Christ also, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were created in this situation. And we see that through the scripture. And I said, order of creation is set forth clear and forth. The order of creation is clearly set forth in Genesis 1. First day life was created. That's verses 3 through 5. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Day one, when God created light, he separated it from darkness, forming day and night. For the second day, the firmament was created, verses 6 through 8. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. That's where he separates the waters and creates the sky. Day three, the third day, grass and earth were created. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, let the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so the morning, evening and morning, was the third day. Then on the first part of day three, he separates the dry land from the sea. And it's all are essential to the survival of what follows next. God begins filling the realms he has created on the remainder of that of the day three. He creates plant life. And we see that too. If it's a fig tree, it only produces figs itself. You know, it don't grow anything else other than only his kind. And it's the same thing with God's word. When we look at the Bible and look at it, we say, you know, just like when James was teaching in Matthew there about the sower, like sowing the seeds. A lot of it fell on bad ground, you know, thorns and choked down and rocks and chewed up, you know, scored. But when it fell on the good ground, it got growth. That's the way God's word is. When it produces, when God's word falls on good ground, it produces Christians. Okay, on the fourth day, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On day four, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it's in the sky. The terms greater light and lesser light are used rather than the names sun and moon, thus discouraging the worship of these created objects, reminding us that we are still in danger of worshiping the creation instead of the creator. A lot of people were going to worship idols at that time. Thus, we may just use, instead of using the moon and the stars, lesser light or greater light. On the fifth day, and God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and everything, living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and that birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So God, on the fifth day, God filled the water and the sky with fish and birds that they could not survive without the plant life created earlier. The sixth day, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and all over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw that everything that he had made, indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God created man. He created his own image. Also, he gave them plant food to eat. And all through each one of these, he said it was, he saw that what he had made was good. Except on the sixth day, he said it was very good. So we know that God, he creates whatever and all he creates, we know all good things come from God. And also, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts of them were finally finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And so he rested on the seventh day, made holy, sanctified, set apart. So that goes by there to show that God is the creator of all things. Okay, now we get into the beginning of man. But according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, to itself, man was made in the image of God. And we just got through reading that. That God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And we see that too. He said, make man in our image and let us also, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I know that a lot of people say, using the word Trinity, I know we mentioned that before, I think the Bible said with Kenyan and so forth. You don't use that in the Bible, but we know that's, I use it like a tripod, you know, like a triangle. We've got three there, and all of them involved in this. And said, man was made in the image of God. He was to have dominion over God's creation. That's in Psalms 8 and 39. The 8:3-9. Excuse me. Our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. But I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angel, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That confirms exactly what we just said, giving man dominion over the creatures of on the earth. And then Genesis 2 and 15 said, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So Adam was supposed to take care of the garden, you know, cultivating and so forth, and take care of it. He was over that. So. That we are God's offspring. That's in Acts 17, 28, and 29. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by part of man's divine. I'm taking that as like earlier, I guess you would say that. So kind of using stones or gold, something that's making them into some type of idol or such. And God, you know, God's not like, we're not like that. We're supposed to be following God's word and doing what he wants us to do. And God is the Father of our spirits. That's in Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? have more passion than that, but I will put it as.
You know, when we read through these accounts of creation and all that God is doing and how scripture is so uniform and everything, this is a whole lot easier for me to believe than some kind of Big Bang theory that an evolution and that we come from monkeys are. You know, it's hard to see how people believe in such things as that from God. He gives us the creation. And whenever they get into these timelines, brother, in thousands of years, 2,000 years, into millions and billions, billions of years. Remember, they sent up a rocket a couple of weeks ago with a big telescope that I was listening to that NPR radio, and they said, we might figure out all the way back to the Great Bang. You know, people can't accept by faith what God is revealed, but it's a whole lot more logical than the things that they come up with is, oh, they don't believe God.
Yeah, but we got evidence here. What evidence do they have? No.
I think also when we look at the creation, the 7 days or the 6 days creation, you do see intelligence, you see design, you see order. I mentioned order here, but in addition to that, intelligent design, some knowledge of the sequence of things that need to happen.
Right, I think, you know, when I was reading this, that, you know, well, you kind of go back when I was reading somewhere a little while ago and before, you know, you go back. He laid it out step by step. You know, he didn't create man, he didn't create animals, he created vegetation, water, and so forth, all step by step, you know, where it was, you know, it worked out like he wanted to. Since life creates life and God is spirit, man's likeness to the image of God must be seen in the spirit of man. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We're supposed to, if we're going to worship God, we got to be like God. I say, like Christ, a Christian. If you portray him, you're supposed to be a Christian. You want to walk and talk and act. Your image is supposed to portray him, like Jesus Christ. But that's what people need to see in us. And that's what we're supposed to, if we want to be called a Christian, that's what we need to and should be doing. The man is a dual being consisting of soul and body. That's in Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also 2 Corinthians 4:16.
Can I read that one for you?
You might.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Thank you. Also, James 2 and 26, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Then you got the soul is eternal, living on after death. The body returns to the, but the spirit returns to God and gave it. That's Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Also, in another sense, man is a triumphant being composed of body, soul, and spirit. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's sanctified, that's being supposed to be set apart, and we're supposed to be found blameless by doing God's will and following his word. The likeness of man to God can be seen in several ways. That God has knowledge. God has knowledge, so does man. That's in 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. You're talking about, like, Lord, I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. We don't know what God's thinking. So we can only go by what we're thinking ourselves. That God has intellect and reason, and so does man. That's Acts 17 and 2. And Paul, as his custom was, went to them and for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. And that's basically him going to the synagogue, preaching the what Christ was going to have to go through and the suffering he was going to have to deal with. And also, when he died, when we resurrected, and some of them followed, went along, understood, agreed with it, but there were others who didn't. And there was actually one of them who, I'm assuming they wanted to kill him or whatever. It wasn't good, but I knew that. Also, it says, God has emotions. So does man, in that he loves, hates, rejoices, and is grieved. You can see this in Genesis 6, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made him. So we know that just like as humans, we have emotions sometimes, make kind of fall off the handle or so forth or something, and let our emotions get the best of us at times. You have to be careful, we may say things we don't need to say before we think about it. And I know that just like God, he shows right there, he has emotions. But he was, because of all the sin that was in the world, he wanted to destroy it. He didn't like what he seen. If God has will, so does man. It's in Matthew 26 and 41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I will see that when they came into arrested. And we know that Peter had already said he would be willing to die for Christ. And but we see him once they come and arrest him later, you know, he denied Christ three times. And not only he denied, well, I say he denied, but the rest of them, they left and took all of them left. He abandoned him, you know. The man also has flesh and bone, but God does not. Therefore, man is not in the fleshly image of God. And that's 4:24. Also that John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. As a moral being, man is possessed with moral choices. He has free will. This is one feature that distinguishes him from an animal. If man had been made where he could have not sinned, then he would not have been man, but merely an animal, a robot, or a puppet. And we see we have more, we give us some choices in the beginning of the Bible there, but in Genesis chapter 2, I think it was chapter 2 there, he gave that free will to us. We have choices like Adam had a choice there. So that distinguishes us from animals, or the animals from, I guess you have a mind making choices on the man. We start at the beginning of sin. In the Garden of Eden, there was one prohibition placed upon man, the eating of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. Genesis 2:16-17. The Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you will surely die. And they were, so this was to, this law was to test the faithfulness of man, not to tempt him. But James states that God does not tempt man with evil in James 1:13-15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So God, he tests us, but he don't tempt us. And we see that. They said the temptation of Eden came from Satan, who was introduced to us for the first time in chapter 3 of Genesis. They made a threefold appeal to Eve in 3 and 6. That when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. But there they had a choice, and they chose to disobey God. He took of the fruit and ate, and she gave the fruit to Adam, her husband. He also ate. By this act, sin was introduced into the world. That's in Romans 5 and 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. However, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. They both sinned, Adam knowingly, and the woman through deception. But in the same manner, Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness of Judea. That's in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. But Satan asked Jesus to turn stones to bread. But this would have been good for food, satisfying the hunger. Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. These were pleasant to the eye. Satan proposed to Jesus that he cast himself down on the temple, a temptation of pride and vanity, his desire to make one wise. That avenues of sin are through the lust of the eyes, or lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's in 1 John 2:16. That Satan brought all these in the Garden of Eden with Eve and the wilderness with Jesus. And he uses the same with us today. You know, we look back, you know, I think about that a lot of times when I see that. I said, it's amazing to go back and look at something, but y'all were here to see if it ain't broken and want to fix it. So, you know, I guess that's the way Satan looks at it. As long as it's still working, why change anything? And he tempts us the same way today.
I think it's interesting how we can look back at these other cases with Adam and Eve, for example, and see how plainly obvious it was what Satan was doing. And we can see, well, there's where they made the mistake, and be really hard on them. And yet we do the very same thing. It's just because he repackages the same old tricks. But it's easy for us to see it in others, but hard to see it in ourselves sometimes. And that's all the more reason to be reading and learning from what God says.
I guess you know, like I said, get the plank out of your own eye. So some teach that we inherit Adam's sin and use Romans 5:12 to try to prove it. This text states that death passed upon all men, not sin. Man becomes a sinner in his own wicked works. That's in Ephesians 2:1-3 and Ezekiel 18:20. They teach some bear the iniquity of the father. But if sin is transmitted through the mother, then Jesus would have been born a sinner. So we know that sin wasn't passed down to us, it was death that was passed through the call of that. The beginning of sin's consequences in Genesis 3:7-24, we read of the consequences of man's sin, they are several and known. Starting in verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." That sin brings shame to the family. In Proverbs 19:26 and 28:27 said sin brings shame to the church. 1 Timothy 5:14-6:1 and Romans 2:24 said sin brings shame to the individual. Luke 15:21, Proverbs 6:32-33. Also said in verse 8, that both Adam and Eve hid themselves in the Garden of Eden, being afraid because of sin, man feared death. Hebrews 2:15, Jesus removed this by his sacrifice, enabling forgiveness. And the judges and warps that both sought to hide themselves from God, something they should have known to be impossible. That's in Psalm 139:7, 12 and Proverbs 15:3. So, you know, when they were trying to hide themselves, they were afraid God was going to see it. Well, they only knew. They should have known that God was going to see it. They couldn't hide themselves. It's impossible. Same thing with us. We can do something that's wrong, and nobody else knows about it but me or whoever committed that sin. Well, but God knows. Somebody else might know it, but he knows it.